Hello.
Anna.
Gabriella.
Okay, I guess he hasn't come on yet.
Not yet.
Good evening.
Good evening. Okay, I'm gonna mute.
Muting.
Gonna wait one more minute before we start. Good evening.
Good evening.
We'll be starting in about 30 seconds.
Thank you.
We will start with step one of the counting, which is the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kutshabrihu ishkinte vidkilu urchimu urchimu udkilu liachta l'shem yudhe bavate v'yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Hine anachnu bayem l'kayem mitzvat sefirat ha'omer la'asot Nachat ruach liotzreinu v'lasot ratzon borinu. V'ayino am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maasei yadeinu kanunei aleinu maasei yadeinu kanunei. Step two, we will connect to the verses that assist our consciousness preparing for the counting. Adonai Yohe Wahe Adanu Yo Yo Ahe Dawanu Heyo Igmor Beadi Adonai Yohe Wahe Adanu Yo Yo Ahe Dawanu Heyo Azdecha Leolam Maase Yadicha El Teref Ephra le Elohim El Yom La El Gomer Alai Via Avor Alai Pierrech Mitvoseset Bedamaich Wayomar La Amar Bedamaich Taye Via Mar Lecha Bedamaich Taye Barki nafshi et Adonai, yo he wahe, adanu yo, yo ahe dawanu he yo. Elohim, Elohe, gedalta me'ad me'od, ha'od, v'hadar levashta. O te'or, kishalma no. Shemayim Tariyah. Step three is to say the blessing. Baruch Atah Aleph Tetah all the energy of the vessel injected into the hay of Malchut. Adonai Yohe Wahe Adanu Yo Yoahe Dawanu Heyo Yud He Wav He Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Asher Kirishanu B'mitzvotav Vetzivanu Al Sefirat HaOmer. Ha'ayom arba'av u'shloshim yom la'omer Shehem arba'ah shavuot v'shisha yamim. Today is the 34th day of the Omer, which is 4 weeks and 6 days. The inner light. Harachaman hu yachatzir yavodat beit hamikdash limkoma bimheira biyameinu. And we all say amen. The next step is Psalm 67, the menorah psalm. We will stop at a word and we will stop at a letter. Lam natseach bin ginot mizmor shir. Elohim yechanenu vivarkenu. Ya'er pana vitanu sela. La da'at ba'aretz darkecha, v'kol goyim yeshuatecha. Yoducha amim Elohim, yoducha amim kulam. Yismechu v'ranenu. Ki tishpot amim, mishor v'amim, ba'ar. The letter Resh is the 34th letter. The letter Resh has two sounds. It has two meanings. The letter Resh can be a Rosh, meaning the head, or it can be a Reish, which has to do with a lack, being poor. When you think you're important, which is the idea of the head, are you really covering up your lacks? Because you don't feel good about yourself. You don't think of yourself as important, so you cover it up with bravado. Is that a character trait that is within you? Does it need to be changed? Aretz Tanhem Sela. Yoducha amim Elohim, Yoducha amim. 64th word is Amin. Amin means a nation. Actually, nations. But it also means to see water. And that's connecting to the Sefirah of Chesed, loving kindness. Do we have enough love, loving kindness within our character traits? Does everything we do connect to trying to improve and expand our loving kindness? Or do we want to make ourselves feel more important by pulling other people down? Kulam Eretz Natna Yevula Yevarkenu Elohim Eloheinu. Yivarkenu Elohim v'yiru oto kol asei aretz. Step 7 is the Anabakoa. Please join me. Anabakoa gedulat yamincha. Aleph Gimel Yitzhak Sabi Gabel Rinax Amcha Stad Beinu Aharenu Nora Ufreshayan Sintet Nun Nagibor Dorshe Yehudcha Kevavat Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalet Yudkaf Shin Barchem Tacharem Rachame Sitkatcha Tamid Gamlem Betet Resh Tzaditach Gimel Kasim Kadosh Berov Tuvcha Nael Adatecha. The 34th word for the 34th letter is the letter Nun. And we know that the letter Nun connects to the energy of Nafal, the energy of falling. May we be able to utilize this letter Nun as a vaccine against falling. And the way to do that is expand the letter Nun to connect to Bina, the world that is coming. To grow it to a larger size, a more expansive size, so it does not allow us to fall. Adatecha Tet Kufet Tet Nunayim Yachid Geye Lamcha Pene Zokre Kedushatecha Yud Gimelamed Zion Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziyakatenu Yodea Ta'alumot Shin Kufav Aliyutah. And the 8th verse of the Anabakoach we say in a whisper, Baruch Shem Kim, Alter Ben, And then step 8, we're connecting to the 42 travels in the desert, journeys in the desert. The 34th journey is to leave Kadesh and camp at Or Hadahar, which is at the edge of the land of Edom. Or Hadahar, it was a double mountain, a mountain atop a mountain, like a small apple on top of a big apple. Aaron passed away and was buried on this double mountain. Despite the sorrow connected with Aaron's death, Aaron was remembered, was mourned and missed for his great love of all people, which is why he was the entire of Israel. Both men and women wept for him, because Aaron pursued peace and did everything possible to reconcile and bring peace and bring love back between adversaries, between husbands and wives. A mountain symbolizes love. Like a powerful mountain rising into the heavens, love lifts us up and allows us to soar. Love is always yearning, reaching like a mountain to the skies. Aaron was buried appropriately in a place that reflected his essential nature, a double mountain. Not just love, but love on top of love. Ahava Rabbah, great love. Aaron went out of his way beyond the letter of the law to cultivate love and engender harmony wherever he went. Aaron's love is the reason that in his merit the people were surrounded and protected by the clouds of glory through their difficult journey in the wilderness. These clouds are like a nurturing embrace of a mother clutching and engulfing her child with love and affection, protecting the child from all threats. After Aaron's passing, this love ceased and the clouds departed, only to return in the merit of Moses. With this protection gone, the Canaanite king of Arad felt that he can attack the vulnerable nation. Or Hadahar, then, our personal life is the journey of love, the efforts we invest in loving another and bringing love into this divisive and aggressive world, embracing all human beings regardless of background, a love that is often appreciated once it is absent. As it was after Aaron's death, when we realize what we are missing. However, in our life journey, we need not wait for loss to cherish and propagate love all around us. Unconditional love is the greatest defense and is the immunization against predators. At this point, following Aaron's death and the departure of the protective clouds, the Jews, swept by fear, retreated 8 journeys all the way back to Maseroth until the Levites compelled them to return on track. In our lives, we will have setbacks. There will be times and journeys when we panic. Overtaken by fear, we regress. Despite our progress, we retreat and give up valuable ground that we worked hard at gaining. We must know that this too is part of the life's real journeys. Never to be discouraged. Even our retreats are challenges that can be converted into opportunities, which are part of the journey that helps thrust us forward. The next few journeys are the harshest ones. The people were worn out from wandering for so many years in a desolate wilderness. And as their journeys continued to mount, and witnessing the death of Aaron, they finally break down and feel deeply estranged from the divine hand. So too in our life's journey, as the years wear on and old age brings with it many maladies, and the resulting resignation, After years of wandering in the wilderness of our lives, it's natural that the journey will take its toll. It's interesting to note with this teaching that there are 42 journeys in the desert. But if we count that we fell back 8 journeys, it's how we get to the 50, to the Shavuot, by retracing those 8 journeys. We get to the 50. We get to the gift of the Torah, the Matan Torah of Shavuot. Step 9, we complete the counting. Ribono Shel Olam, Ata Tzevitanu Al Yedei Moshe, Avdecha Lispor Sefirata Omer. Kedei letacharenu, mikli potenu, umtu matenu. Kemo shekatavta, betorata, huspartam, lachem, mimacharad ha-shabbat. Miyom haviachem, eto omer, ha-tenufa, sheva shabbatot. Temi imot. Tayina mimacharad ha-shabbat, ha-shvi'it pesefiru, chamishim yom, kidei sheyitacharu, nafshot amcha Yisrael, zohamatam uvechem, yehi ratzon milfanecha, Adonai yohewahe, Adanu yo, yoahe da wanu heyo. Eloheinu, Elohe avotenu. Shebishut sefirata omer. Shesefarti hayom. Yetukan ma shivagamti vesefira. Yesod shebecho. What is the foundation of appreciation? Yesod Shebechod. What is the active secret of Hod, of appreciation and thankfulness? V'yet taher, v'yet kadesh, b'kdusha shel ma'ala, amen selah. Step 10. The tzaddikim who chose to leave this day Rabbi Meir ben Baruch, the Maharam Mimratenberg. Rabbi Menachem Mendel of Rimino. Rabbi Pinchas Twersky of Shemishel. Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Mordechai Soloveitchik of Lucerne. Rabbi Ezra Atiya of Syria. Rabbi Moshe Kopschitz. These are the tzaddikim who left this 19th day of Iyar. And the prophet that connects to Yesod Shebechod is Yoel ben Pesuel. Most people, I think that most people really are not familiar with the prophet Joel. he's one of the 12 minor prophets, and don't take the word minor as to be unimportant. It's just that in the course of their prophecies, there were very few verses that applied to every person in every generation, which is the what it took to be recorded in the book of prophets was that the prophecy needed to apply to every person in every generation. In biblical times, people went to see the prophets. They went to ask for help. The prophet was a connection to Hashem. And so when they asked questions and they received these prophecies, those prophecies that would apply to other people in other generations were written down. And they were recorded in the book of prophets. The woman that connects to Yesod Shebahot is Abigail. Abigail was nurtured, or King David nurtured Abigail. And after her husband Nabal was killed, she became one of his wives. But she was a prophet who saw that her husband was doing wrong, and it would be catastrophic to him, financially and health in every way. And so she nurtured David and his men, providing them the provisions that her husband had refused. That's the end of the counting. Does anybody have any questions? Our class tonight is a essay by the Ari, and I realized that I have made a number of mistakes last night. But one of the most grievous was to realize that I had said last night, and the Ari that we studied last night was based on the parasha for the Shabbat reading being Bamidbar, and that's not correct. The parasha is the double parasha of the Shabbat, Behar and Behukotai. This reading that we're reading with the today from the Ari can be found in the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in row 14, the second column from the left. It will open up to the Ari landing page. When the Ari landing page opens up, scroll down to Parasha Bechukotai. There's only one link. Title of the link is Soul Dreams. And this is our study for tonight. We will start with the Lashem Yehud. Lashem Yehud Kudsha Berichu Ishkite Bidhilu Urchimu Udhilu Udhilu Urchimu Leakta Lashem Yudhe Bavave Beyehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah Lasok Torah Mitzvah Vayhino Am Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Konenei Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Konenehu. A Kabbalistic introduction to the subject of reincarnation from the Arizal. The portion of the Torah Pehukotai, which is read this week on May 12th, it begins, "If you will follow my laws and faithfully observe my mitzvot, I will grant your rains in their season, so that the earth shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field bear fruit. It is fitting that we understand these words, which read as if God is trying to convince and entice the Jewish people, telling them that if they do such and such, they will receive such and such a reward. The tenor of these verses at face value is not that they describe a simple cause and effect relationship, but that Hashem is trying to coax us into observing his mitzvot with the promise of a reward. Furthermore, the reward seems to be blessings of material beneficence. Although our sages have told us that the true reward for keeping Hashem's mitzvot awaits us in the afterlife. My commentary. Kabbalah teaches that there is no such thing as punishment and reward. This language should not be used. Everything relates to cause and effect. The cause is always spiritual. Performing an action or doing a mitzvah is a physical action, and therefore is an effect. What is the cause of a mitzvah? It is the human desire to be cleansed of impurity. It is the human desire to get closer to Hashem. People like that clean feeling. Rain in its season is an effect of the spiritual cause of the desire to have that clean feeling. The same analysis applies to the other physical statements in the above Torah verse. The explanation from the Ari is that this passage alludes to the concept of transmigration, reincarnation into different worlds by souls. And I am adding, transmigration is different than reincarnation. This is my opinion. Reincarnation is a spiritual soul taking on a different garment or a different body. Transmigration is that soul moving between worlds, such as from a human world to the plant or the animal or the inanimate bodies. As you know, the soul is primarily initially reincarnated in the mineral or vegetable kingdoms, and afterwards ascends into the animal kingdom. For example, cattle. If it merits further, it ascends to the kingdom of man. Transmigration is the means by which the soul atones for the sins that it committed in its first human lifetime. In the words of the Arizal, there is almost no person on earth that is spared such transmigration. The wicked, after their death, enter purgatory, which is Gehinnom, and receive their punishment and their atonement there. Their judgment there lasts 12 months. I am adding, Kabbalah teaches that everyone goes to Gehinnom, including the Tzaddikim. The Tzaddikim go for an instant, and their purpose in going there is to elevate those souls who have completed their cleansing, since there is no other exit except by being connected to the light of a Tzaddik. Although the Arizal uses the term punishment, it is important to remember that the suffering the soul endures in Gehinnom and in being reincarnated is meant to scour or purify it from the spiritual filth that it accrued during its lifetime by transgressing the mitzvot of the Torah. This purification process enables it to progress afterwards to higher levels of afterlife. Thus, the Punishment is an expression of God's mercy, an opportunity for the soul to rid itself of the existential incrustation of sin that prevents it from experiencing the higher levels of spirituality that await it in reward for the good it performed during its lifetime. The suffering of the soul in Gehinnom can be alleviated by someone saying Kaddish for it. This is why the custom is to say Kaddish for only 11 months after the person's death. Saying Kaddish the full 12 months would imply that the individual was completely wicked and requires the full term of purification in Gehinnom. My commentary. Kaddish is a prayer in Aramaic that the rabbis say requires a minyan to pray. The prayer praises the goodness of Hashem. There is a leniency used by some that allows one to say a similar prayer without a minyan. And if one would like a copy of this, please request it from myself. And we have been saying that similar prayer, it's on the Unique Astrological Times page, if you want to get it for yourself. During this period of the plague of the COVID-19 or the coronavirus, minions have been eliminated. It's been inappropriate to have a minion because of the potential health risk. And so the Kaddish has not been able to be said. And while many people, many Orthodox rabbis, know about the similar prayer, a similar Kaddish that we say when we don't have a minyan, they're not publicizing this. They're not letting people know. And you have to ask why. Who is it harming? When you say Kaddish, you're saying it for the merit of the departed soul. It helps it rise to a higher level. So those of us in the physical body are denied the ability to say Kaddish, the ability to share. But those who have departed are denied the opportunity to grow spiritually through the effect of others. You can see cause and effect in that discussion, in that relationship. I'm continuing to read. To certain wicked people, however, is applied the verse, he will fling away the lives of your enemies in the hollow of the sling. They do not merit entering purgatory immediately after their death in order to be cleansed of their sin. Rather, their soul descends from level to level through various incarnations until their sins have been scoured away sufficiently, so that they may then enter purgatory for 12 months and attain the complete, the full atonement. The punishment of the hollow of the sling, which is in Hebrew Kaf HaKelah, is here defined as reincarnation. In the book Hayom Yom of Chabad Hasidut, it is taught that the way a person can avoid this experience is while still alive, spending as much of the day as possible in reciting passages from the Mishnah, from the Tanya, and from Psalms that they have memorized, and they say it from their heart. And I am adding, I would recommend recommend one memorize your personal energy verses from Psalms. There is no set time for these cases, for sometimes a soul can progress through its incarnations in 20 years, or 100, or 1,000, all depending on the seriousness of the sin that it committed in this world. In contrast, the fire of purgatory does not singe the souls of the righteous and the Torah scholars. Therefore, they must be reincarnated into this world in order to scour them from whatever sins they may have done, for there is no one that has not committed some sin. Thus, for the righteous, reincarnation is the lighter purification process, after which they enter the world that is coming directly. For the wicked, however, reincarnation entails more suffering, and only after finishing the reincarnation process can they proceed to Gehinnom. When a righteous person dies, he is thus ready to ascend the ladder of sublime levels of paradise. This, however, does not happen all at once. Rather, immediately after his death, he is subjected to suffering in order to cleanse him of his more serious sins. Only after this is he brought into his first level of paradise. When his turn comes to ascend to a higher, more sublime level, he is again subjected to suffering in order to cleanse him of his more subtle sins. He can then enter his second, higher level of paradise. After this, he is again subjected to suffering in order to cleanse him of the sin of transgressing the minor details of mitzvah performance. Then he is ushered into his true, fitting place in paradise. Rabbi Chaim Vital, who is writing these teachings of his master, the Arizal, now relates the following incident. It happened a few times that I was walking in the field with my teacher, may his memory be for a blessing. And he said to me, "Behold, there was a certain person named so-and-so, who was a tzaddik and a Torah scholar. But because he committed such and such a sin during his lifetime, he is now incarnated into this stone or this plant, etc." My teacher of blessed memory never knew these people. We, his students, would investigate the history of these departed souls, and we invariably found the facts to be in accordance with his words. I am not going to go into this at length because I could never recount all the times that this happened. Other times he would gaze at a grave 500 cubits away, amongst 20,000 other graves, and he would see the soul of the person buried there standing on the grave. He would tell us that so-and-so is buried in that grave, and he is undergoing such and such a punishment for having committed such and such a sin. We would inquire after this person and always find it to be as my teacher said. We were witness to many amazing things like this. To return to our discussion, after an individual dies, he is repaid for his sins in various forms of reincarnation before he enters purgatory. That is, he can be reincarnated in an inanimate object, a plant, an animal, or in a person. Almost no one can avoid being reincarnated, since a soul cannot experience the suffering required to cleanse him of the effects of his sin, unless he has become rematerialized in a soul body, in the combination. Only then, having been reincarnated, can he suffer and feel the pain and thus achieve atonement. I am adding, is pain necessary? Rabbi Ashlag teaches there are two paths to complete a soul's tikkun. One path is pain and suffering, The other is the path of Torah. This two-path system is true in the physical world, and yet it's also true in the spiritual levels. The degree and the extent of the reincarnation into which kingdom he is reincarnated is a function of the seriousness of his sins. This is why there are even some tzaddikim and Torah scholars that undergo reincarnation, as we have said, on account of some sin that they stumbled over during their lifetimes. We have explained elsewhere that all the worlds were created from the ruins of the seven primordial kings that ruled in the land of Edom and then died. So this is the world of Tohu that collapsed. The purest remains of this world were absorbed into the world of Atzilut. What was too coarse to be absorbed into Atzilut was absorbed into the world of Briah, then into Yetzirah, and finally into Asiya. The purest elements that descended to Asiya were absorbed into the human kingdom, followed by the animal kingdom, by the vegetable kingdom, and finally the mineral kingdom. A righteous person, through his deeds and mitzvot that he performs through eating and such, has the power to elevate the sparks of holiness in the mineral kingdom to the level of the vegetable kingdom, and then to the level of the animal kingdom, and finally to the level of the human kingdom. The wicked person, in contrast, through his deeds, causes the exact opposite to happen. He causes the sparks of holiness to descend. Some sins cause the sparks of holiness in man to descend to the level of the inanimate kingdom, others to the level of the vegetable kingdom or the animal kingdom. Therefore, in correspondence to their sin, some wicked people, after their death, are reincarnated into a stone, while others are reincarnated into vegetables or to animals. When a person commits a sin, he is betraying the divine within him. He is not acting like a human being who is meant to rule over creation and elevate it to divinity. Rather, he is stooping to the level of the object he is committing the sin with, and at least for the duration of the sin, subjecting himself to its rule over him. For example, let's say a person has a sensual urge to eat chocolate cake. It is not Shabbat or any other occasion in whose honor he can justify eating the cake, and he has already eaten his meal. So he cannot justify the indulgence with claims of real hunger. No, the sole motivation for this piece of cake is pure, unadulterated sensual indulgence. I am adding, unadulterated sensual indulgence is a genteel phrase for desire to receive for oneself alone, or outright selfishness. Furthermore, this is glatt kosher cake, and eating it entails no transgression of waiting between meat and dairy foods. So the indulgence is not a sin per se, but just an indulgence. If the person succumbs to his urge and eats the cake, he is demonstrating that at that moment, at least, he is subservient to the power the cake has over him. He has taken his divine spark, animating him at that moment, and brought it down to the level of the cake. He becomes, in effect, not a human person, but a cake person. Moreover, he has to a certain extent brought the whole level of creation down to this level. So long as this cakeness and cake identity remains with him, this individual cannot expect to be admitted to the chambers of paradise, where the delights of this world are insignificant and the soul basks in the glow of the divine presence. He has, on the contrary, demonstrated that he is into much coarser delight. He must therefore be cleansed of this cake mentality. And this is accomplished by being reincarnated into the vegetable kingdom, where he can experience the pain of his soul, which is used to be to the freedom of expression and movement of a human being, being trapped in vegetable identity. In other words, he must experience the same descent that he put his soul and the world through when he ate the cake. Those who undergo these reincarnations remain there for a fixed amount of time, until the sin that caused them to be incarnated into the vegetable kingdom is expunged. When this time is over, they ascend into the animal kingdom. When this time is over, they ascend into the human kingdom. To return to the verse from the Torah with which we began this discussion, thus the Torah says, if you will follow my laws and faithfully observe my mitzvot, I will grant your rains in their season so that the earth will yield its produce and the trees of the field their fruit. You will eat and be satisfied, and the souls that are present within the food will ascend to your level. The ascent of the souls incarnated in the food a person eats is subject to him following God's laws and faithfully observing his mitzvot. That is, he must preserve his level of holiness while engaged in eating. Otherwise, as we said, he does not elevate the divine sparks of souls within the food, but falls to its level. This is the mystical meaning of the verse, and you shall eat your bread to satiation and dwell securely in your land. Now, the souls reincarnated in lower forms of life do not ascend at all times. Rather, there is a proper time for each ascent to occur. Specifically, someone who has been reincarnated into the mineral kingdom only descends into the vegetable kingdom during the 4 months of Av, Elul, Tishrei, and Cheshvan. Someone who has been reincarnated into the vegetable kingdom only ascends into the animal kingdom during the 4 months of Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, and Tammuz. And I am adding, the ascent to the human speaking level takes place only in the months of Kislev, Tevet, Shvat, and Adar. My commentary. These three sets of months are following the three columns of the Tree of Life. This is my opinion. It is important to remember these relationships, as it will help one to recognize what is the effect of various negative actions in the time of reincarnation. That's the end of our essay, the end of our class. Does anyone have any questions? While you're unmuting yourselves, tomorrow is Wednesday. We will have three classes. Our Jewish history class starts at 11 a.m. West Coast time. At 4:30, we have the deeper Zohar class. And at 7 o'clock, we have questions and answers. Are there any questions at this moment? I bid you all Shalom Gadol. Have a beautiful evening and day for tomorrow. Shalom. Shalom Gadol.
Shalom. Thank you. Good night.
Good night.